Mary and Joseph as a couple. Today, since it's Father's Day, I want to look at Joseph as an individual. One of the things that we find when we look at Joseph is that he was a father. He, of course, was not the Lord's natural father, but he was someone who helped raise Jesus. After the Lord was born, the Bible says that Mary and Joseph had other children together. That's found in Matthew 13, verses 55 and 56. Most would agree that Joseph was a very good father, a great dad. And some of the qualities that made him a great father are found in Scripture. As we look at today's text, which is primarily drawn from Matthew 1 and 2, we find that one of the qualities that he had was a love for his wife and a love for his son. This is clear because the text says that Mary and Joseph were engaged, that is, they were close to being married. And during this time period, Joseph found that the woman that he wanted to marry was pregnant. If you can think for just a moment about being in that kind of situation, it must have been a very disturbing time for Joseph. It's not hard to imagine how he must have felt. He had found the woman that he wanted to marry. He had made a commitment with her. And like any young couple, perhaps they had spent some time together talking about their hopes, their dreams, their desires, the things that they wanted to do, the things that they wanted to accomplish. And as things perhaps were proceeding so well, here's what we find in Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Imagine if you will, during the engagement period, even in this country, people have made plans together. They've not been with each other in an intimate way, and yet you find out, being the male, that your beloved is pregnant, and you know that you're not the father. Big shock. Substantial shock for Joseph. Well, God eventually made it clear that Mary was not guilty of any wrongdoing, but before God informed Joseph about the facts, we have some information about how Joseph responded to this situation. And Joseph's response shows how much he loved his wife. If you think about the man who would be engaged to a woman and would be presented with that information, and he realizes, he knows that he is not the father. There would be some men throughout the world who would respond in a way that would be hateful. They'd be filled with anger and malice. Some might say, I'm going to show her. And under the Old Testament, that was possible. There were serious penalties for fornication. But as Joseph thought about the information that he had, that is, the woman that he wanted to marry, she was pregnant and he knew that he was not the father. There was no hate and no malice. He did not say, I'm going to punish her to the full extent of the law. His response to the situation is found in 1:19. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, was not willing to make her a public example, but was minded to put her away privily. As painful as the information was, Joseph was not willing to make her a public example. He could have done that. He was entitled to do that. But he was going to deal with the situation in a way that was compassionate. As you look at what this man intended to do, you find that he was one who had compassion, one who for his wife had tenderness and love. He believed that he had been seriously wrong, but he did not respond with hate. It's also worthy of note that in Matthew 1:19, the Bible uses the word righteous. This man did not become just a father, but the Bible says he was a righteous man or a righteous father. Part of his righteousness is seen in his commitment to Mary. In spite of the pregnancy, he did commit himself to Mary. And the Bible goes on to show that he was someone who loved Jesus. I have seen fathers, and this is true for some of you as well, who have had a bad attitude towards a child. For whatever reason, there have been some fathers who have said, that's not my child. And that may well have been the case. And because that child is not mine, I'm not going to have anything to do with him. That's not the kind of thing that we find with respect to Jesus and Joseph. Joseph treated the Lord as if this son had been his own, as if he had been the natural father. And part of the treatment that Jesus received from Joseph is found in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 2, verse 14. And he, that is Joseph, arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. The Lord's life was endangered. As you look at the end of Matthew 2, verse 13, the Bible says that Herod wanted to destroy the Lord. Even though Joseph was not the Lord's natural father, the Bible says that he protected the child that Mary gave birth to. He even went to another country to ensure that the child he had not fathered was cared for and protected. being the Lord's Father was a dangerous responsibility, as you look at the opening chapters of Matthew. But you find that Joseph was a father who took responsibility for this child and ensured that the Lord was kept in a safe place and well cared for. We might further say that Joseph was a father who accepted responsibility for a child that most of the world eventually rejected. And that speaks very, very well of him. In addition to showing love, this father expressed a second quality that we must commend. He was devout. Staying with Matthew chapter 2, backing up now to verse 13 and then joining that with verse 14. Now when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I tell thee. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Joseph was told to take the child that he had not fathered and Mary into a foreign country. And these instructions came, the Bible says, in the form of a dream. We can imagine, I think, some people who would not respond too well to these instructions. Some in our day, others perhaps in that way, would have said to God, I don't think that's a very good idea, God. I've not fathered that child. That sounds like a lot of trouble. Or if I go, God, I want more proof that this is the right thing to do. Just give me some more information. Talking about this isn't another country. This isn't another state. This isn't another city. But God, we're talking about another country. Where are we going to work? Where are we going to live? When can we come back home? You give me some more information and then I'll consider going. That's not how this father responded to God. Some in our day and time might even refuse to go. Given this information, some say that's a long trip. And we're not sure what would happen to us if we go there. It might not work out, so we're not going to go. This man was told to take his wife and child to another country, and the Bible says he went. Went soon after the dream. This father was a man who was concerned about doing what was right, and the Bible says he had faith. He was a devout man who had made a commitment to God, and when God said go, he went. As we look at the Bible account, we find that his faith was not limited to this occasion. We do not know. As we look at the opening chapters of Matthew, how long Joseph, Mary, and Jesus stayed in Egypt. But it certainly seems clear that it was longer than a week or two. This man took his family into a country where apparently, from what we can tell, he was not that familiar with, if at all. And he spends some time there, perhaps is able to set up a household, get a job, get a house, adjust to the society, and then lo and behold, there's another dream. Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, get up again. Take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead that sought the young child's life. Jesus is still described as a young child, so it does not appear that they spent years and years and years in Egypt. In fact, we know that they were back there in Israel by the time Jesus was 12, because the Bible talks about that period in the Lord's life. But God told Joseph to go back to Israel, and the Bible says that he obeyed. Some of the people that we know or some of the people that we can envision might have said to God, well, we've adjusted to life in Egypt. You said, come down here, God, and we've come down here and we have found a house and we found a job. We have made new friends and we are comfortable. But this father was told by God to go. And once again, he was willing to leave what he had established and go back to the place where God wanted him to go. In Luke 2:41, the Bible shows that Joseph went to the feast of the Passover each year. That was a part of the Jewish religious life, and Joseph ensured that he accomplished that. This man was a person, a father, who was obedient to God's will. From what's said in the New Testament, we know that Joseph was a man who loved his wife. He loved his children, one of whom was Jesus, though that son was not a natural son. And the text also makes it clear that he was a man who loved God. Our society honors fathers for a variety of reasons. Families appreciate fathers for different reasons. Some of the reasons that we should appreciate fathers are found in the opening chapters of Matthew. The opening chapters of this book present us with some of the greatest qualities any man can have. If a man loves his wife, if a man loves his children, and if a man is faithfully trying to serve God, he's a good man. Joseph had all of these qualities, and the Bible applies the word righteous to him. But these qualities do not exhaust all that we know about Joseph. As you continue to read through the Gospels, you find that there are a few more scattered references to Mary. But as you continue to read through the narratives, the references to Joseph vanish. They disappear. He fades from the biblical account. After the Lord's childhood, Joseph is no longer mentioned. When you get to the cross of Christ, you find that at that time, Mary is mentioned, but Joseph is not. And that seems to be kind of a peculiar fact. Also, while Jesus was on the cross, he commissioned one of the disciples to care for the Lord. And that seems to be a curious fact if Joseph was still alive. You know, he may have been an invalid or something else, but for one reason or another, Jesus said that Mary needed to be cared for by a disciple. These things have caused a number of people to propose that Joseph died before Jesus did. And that certainly would help explain why Joseph disappears from the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Whether or not Joseph died before the Lord reached the cross, we can at least make a passing observation, a thoughtful point. Joseph's time in life, may have been limited. But he was a man, he was a father who made the most of it. When Jesus was a small child, the opening chapters in Matthew show us what kind of life he lived. We know what kind of father he was. He was a man who went out of his way to care for his wife, to care for his family, to be a good example, and to obey God. As we mentioned, he was someone who ensured that he went to the Passover feast each year. When God said go, when he was given information from a divine source, he obeyed, and he obeyed immediately. Even if this man had a relatively short span of life, his years were well spent. And when we think about honoring fathers, when we think about the right way for fathers to go, this is another part of the example that needs to be taught. In both Ephesians and Colossians, Paul used an interesting expression. It's translated redeeming the time. In Ephesians, where Paul used this expression, he spoke of redeeming the time because the time is evil. Redeeming the time is an expression that means to make the most of opportunities. Literally, it can be translated to buy up the opportunities, to use the opportunities to find them and to make them produce the maximum amount of value. From what we find in the opening chapters of Matthew, this is exactly what Joseph did. He took advantage of the opportunities that were given to him, both in the world and by God. Today, this is still the right approach for fathers. We need fathers today who are going to be the right kind of leader and the right kind of example. And that needs to be today. Now is the time for fathers to set the right example in their family. I've met men who are fathers and they have approached life in such a way where they have said, we'll be a good father someday. A time will come in life when we will set the kind of example that would be proper for our children. There are some dads who have some great plans for the future. But you know, those future plans sometimes never materialize. If Joseph died prematurely in life, that is certainly consistent with some of the ways that the other fathers have left this life. They've died before their children were completely raised, before their example could be fully given. And there are some cases where fathers do reach the point where they want in life. They do reach an advanced state of age. And they come to regret, they come to realize that a number of years that they spent in fatherhood were misspent. And there are years of regret about the lost time. There are fathers who leave bad examples and wish that they could undo the past. I've met men who, as they think about the years of fatherhood, the years that were wasted, the years that were squandered, the years that they did not use wisely, if we could go back and redo them, if we could go back and make some adjustments, if we could just change and undo what we've done. But you know, that's not possible. Each father leaves a legacy, and we determine whether that's going to be positive or negative. The Bible tells people, and this certainly includes fathers, to make the most of our opportunities. We may not have it tomorrow. Our children may be here tomorrow, but we may be gone. If we depart this life and we have not done what we should, there's no second chance. And Jesus made that clear from a man in Luke chapter 16. He talked about a man who wanted to come back and make some adjustments on the earth. And he was told it's not possible. You've left. And you can't go back and change things. Joseph, of course, is a man who has left us an example that's lasted for about 2,000 years. It's surely the case that our example will not last that long. But the important thing is, while we're here, while we're alive, we need to be the right kind of example. And this man was. He loved his wife. He loved his children. He loved God. And he was obedient to God. He was a man who made the most of his opportunities in life. And we still have men like this in our world. Men who were doing these same things. And as Joseph was remembered in a positive way, as Scripture commends him, it's right on days such as this to praise those who are trying to do what's right. Our country has set this day aside to honor men who are fathers, and today we need to honor the men who are trying to do what's right. As we look at the example of Joseph, it can be applied in a general way to each one who is in this assembly. We hope that whether you are a male or female, someone who is young or old, you love your family. That's right. We hope that if you're married, you love your spouse. That's right. We hope that whatever your age, you're someone who has reached a point in time that you believe in God and you love God. And because of that love, you have obeyed Him. That's what Jesus taught. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And that love, that obedience goes hand in hand with not only our relationships in the home, but it goes hand in hand with our relationship with God. To obey God, to become a Christian, the Bible offers some simple steps. They're in the book of Acts. People were told to believe, and those who believed in the Lord were told to repent, that is, to live the best life that they could that's consistent with the will of God. And then the people who were willing to make those two commitments were further instructed to confess Christ. We read about that in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 to 38. And then the people who were willing to take that step to confess Christ, they were immersed in water. Acts chapter 8, the eunuch was immersed, and the Bible teaches that that was for the forgiveness of his sins. Acts 2, verse 38, and Acts 22:16. This morning, if you love your family, that's a great thing. But we pose the second question: do you love God, and have you obeyed Him? Are you trying to continually obey Him throughout life? That's the ultimate example that we can lead. And that's the example that we hope that you're leaving this morning for the family and for the people that you're around on a regular basis. Can we help you either begin the Christian life by baptizing you into Christ, or to help you leave the kind of example that will be the right example for others? If there's a way that we can help you to aid you in becoming a Christian or putting you back on the right path, and you'd like to make that known to the people who are here this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.